You're listening to Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. We're going through the book of Genesis, and when we left off, Abraham was given a command by the Heavenly Father, by God, to take his son up and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, would our Heavenly Father ever require something of us that he would not be willing to do himself? That's a good question. I'm going to go back to my reference here in Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple, no matter what the cost. If we're not willing to be obedient, because how can we be his disciple unless we obey him? Because discipline means we're going to do what he says. Otherwise, we have no discipline. And we can't be a disciple without discipline, can we? Being that the root word of disciple is discipline. Discipline is a good thing. And it's a good thing if you're disciplined or discipled on a voluntary basis. And our Heavenly Father disciples no one involuntarily. If you don't want to follow him, you don't have to be in his kingdom. And if you aren't in his kingdom, if you don't cross the border and allow yourself to be disciplined, if you blaspheme his Holy Spirit by not allowing his Holy Spirit to work in your life to convict you of sin so that you can be disciplined, because that's what I believe that blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. That's why it's the unforgivable sin. If you don't allow his Holy Spirit to convict you of sin and correct you so that you can learn discipline, then you cannot stay in his kingdom. And believe me, you don't want to go to heaven when you die. If you don't want to be disciplined now, if you hate his law now, if you don't want his law written on your heart now, what makes you think that you're going to like it for 1 minute in heaven where his law reigns supreme forever? You don't want to go there. You're going to hate it. You can believe all you want that, oh, the God of love is not going to keep me out of heaven for any cause. I said the magic words one day. I was at a, you know, Billy Sham crusade or whatever you were at. And they said, speak the magic words, repeat after me. And I repeated after them. And then they assured me that now I'm saved and that he will never forsake me or leave me. But did they assure you that you would never leave him or forsake him? Oh, they didn't tell you about that part, that his kingdom is voluntary. And you don't have to stay, but you don't get heaven if you leave, because the kingdom of heaven begins here on earth. And you have to endure, what? Endure discipline, really. He who endures to the end shall be saved. There's no once saved, always saved. But yeah, in a way, there is a once saved, always saved. You can be assured that if you endure to the end, you will be saved. Now, I just quoted the scripture there. Endure to the end. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And once you're saved, you will always be saved. Yes, I agree with that. That's my once saved, always saved doctrine, in complete agreement with scripture. But you don't get that now by saying the magic words. Because what you do, if you accept that and you believe that, and you practice that and you teach that, you have reduced the Word of God, and you have reduced what is holy to witchcraft, to a magic spell. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and brethren, and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what do you think? Was Abraham his disciple? You better believe it, because Abraham is going to do, even at the cost of sacrificing his own son. Because Abraham believes like I believe, or should I say, I believe like Abraham believed. I am his seed by faith through Yahushua, the promised Redeemer. Abraham is my father. I am his kin. because no matter what the cost, I cannot save my children through disobedience. And that's what's being demonstrated here. Abraham does not think for one second that he can. I'm sure he thought, well, if I kill my son, if I sacrifice my son, won't he be dead? What about the promised seed and all the promises? But he believed. Even if the Heavenly Father had to raise Isaac from the dead or give him another seed. But one thing, he's doing this by faith because he believes. He's going to do it by faith because he believes. No matter what the cost, he is not going to put his son and the life in the flesh of his son before obedience to the Heavenly Father. That's what we're to draw from this. And there's probably a lot more, but that's what the Holy Spirit is, his Holy Spirit is showing us today. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, he saddled his ass, he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide here, you stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder to worship, and we will come again to you. Abraham knows that. He says, well, we'll come again. We will come again to you. He knows that somehow that boy is coming back with him. But no matter what, he is not going to be disobedient. He's going to obey the Heavenly Father. This is the faith. This is the great faith of this man. And he took the wood, verse 6, chapter 22. He took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, up together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, yes, my son, here am I, my son. And he said, it's kind of funny, the King James English, these guys are standing right next to each other having a conversation, and Isaac says, my father, and he says, here am I, my son. That's just I would say, yes, my son. What do you want, my son? That would be more or less the conversation. He knew where he was. It's just kind of funny the way that the King James English translates some things this time at times. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. You know, is Abraham lying to his son? No. He will. He already told Abraham. He already provided it in Abraham's eyes because he was told to offer his own son. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Do you think they had a fight? Do you think he struggled? Well, I'm sure there was a little more conversation going on here between Isaac and his father, because he had to tell him what to do. Let me bind you, son. You know, the Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, said that I have to put you on and offer you to him. And, you know, you think about the faith of this son and the obedience of this son, allowing his father to bind him up. I mean, you got an old man here. You know, and by this time Abraham is well past 100. The lad could have got up and ran away from his father. There's a lot going on here. So anyway, he binds his son and he puts him on the altar on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And, you know, this is so easy to read. We just read through it like it's nothing. But this is something. Imagine what's going on in his heart. I mean, just look at the heart of the man toward the evil and wicked people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah, and how concerned he was about them. And look at the concern that he had for Ishmael just being sent out into the wilderness with Hagar. And think of what this man is feeling now, going through all of this, laying his son upon the altar, but knowing, like I know, like you should know, the minute that we put anything, including our own wife and children, before obedience to their Heavenly Father, that we were more likely to lose them through obedience to him than we are to save them by an act of disobedience. Oh yeah, we may compromise to provide food or whatever, to provide in a way that we think is better. But by that act of unbelief, that lack of faith in our actions, in disobedience to our Heavenly Father, we are more likely to lose our mother, our father, our wife, our children, and even our own life the minute we put them before obedience to Him. And when terrible times come, as terrible times can come, terrible times are here on this earth for many believers, have suffered great things, and this is the lesson for them. This is the lesson for us, should these terrible times come, where we have to make that decision. Do we take the mark so we can feed our children? No, because we know that we will lose our children if we take the mark, if we do an act of disobedience in order to save their flesh or to save them the pain of hunger. Because at that point, you know, it's only a concept in our minds. Who knows? Things are not going to get worse at the minute you make that decision. They may get worse. You may have to watch your children starve to death. Are they going to see an act of faith on your part or an act of disobedience to save them? Are you going to teach them that the flesh and satisfying even terrible hunger of the flesh is more important than obedience to our Heavenly Father? What are you going to teach them? Are you going to lose their souls? You know, as the scripture says, as Yahushua said, fear not him who can kill the flesh. And that includes doing all kinds of terrible things to the flesh, from starvation to torture to rape to mutilation and murder and burning at the stake. Fear not him that can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. You know what? Our enemy doesn't have that power. He may have power over our flesh. He may have power over our bodies. But that power is only limited to this mortal life. It has an end, and it ends with the grace period of our life with our mortal flesh. After that, his power is over. It's gone forever. This life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. So Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of Yahuwah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, yes, yes. It's probably the most beautiful sound that Abraham ever heard in his life to that point. The hand that stayed him from slaying his son. And the voice said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahuwah. It says Jehovah Jireh, but we know that's it's not, because if we you can mouse over the 3070 with your mouse if you're looking in your eSword, and you can see it says Yahuwah Jireh, which means Yahuwah will see. And it's this a symbolical name for Mount Moriah, Yahuwah Jireh, Yahuwah will see. And he said to this, and it is said to this day, in the Mount of Yahuwah it shall be seen. And the angel of Yahuwah called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, by myself I have sworn, saith Yahuwah, because you have done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand of the sea upon the shore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What a man of faith. And you know what? We need that assurance, that if it comes down to that point where we have to hate in action I mean, Abraham didn't really hate his son. He loved him the way we define, but his action was an action of hate. He was going to slay him. But this man of faith knew that even if the Heavenly Father had to raise him from the dead, that he would, that somehow that his seed was going to live on, because he had been given a promise that through Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac, through Isaac would the seed of Yahshua, the seed of the promised Redeemer, come. Abraham was a man of faith. He believed no matter what he would do, he would be obedient no matter what the circumstance. And that's the lesson that we need to learn. I don't know if the times are going to come in our life where we have to make those kinds of choices, but they may come. And we need to have the faith of Abraham when they come. We have to know and believe that the words of our Messiah, when he says, unless you hate, you cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to put me and obedience to me before your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your own children, and even your own life, because obedience may cost us the life of everything. But we have to believe that we will lose everything if we are not obedient. That we take, and you know, that is the point, that if we take a chance saying, okay, well, I can be disobedient this one time, but then, you know, I'll be good later. I'll be obedient later. This is too much to ask. The Heavenly Father would not ask me to sacrifice my own children, so I'll get the mark of the beast. Or, you know, I can't let them burn me at the stake, that I have to compromise this once. Oh, you know, the mercies of our Heavenly Father, that people actually could deny him. And, you know, we do have a demonstration that the mercy of our Father. But can we count on that demonstration? No, because we have a demonstration of the opposite in Judas. But we have a demonstration that even when Peter denied him, that he repented. And that was the difference, really, between Judas and Peter. You know, repentance. No place was found for repentance in Judas, where Peter found a place for repentance. And we have Esau and Isaac, and we're going to get to that. That was the difference between Isaac and Jacob. Isaac, no, even though he sought it bitterly with tears, the scripture says that no place was found for repentance in him. But I can't be willing to take that chance. And what is the price, the cost of disobedience can be so great. And we see that demonstrated time and time again. If you think to save your children through an act of disobedience, that act of disobedience may cost you your children. It may cost you your father, your mother, your wife, your children, and your own life. And even though the price of obedience could be your life, as has been demonstrated throughout history and through the Inquisition. And I believe that there are Inquisitions to come. There are inquisitions today taking place in the Sudan, where people will not deny their faith. They're being forced to swear to Islam and to become Muslims, but they will not give up their faith, even if it costs them their own lives. Many Christian, many believers, followers of the way, and that's the true test of whether they are follower of the way, because there are so many that call themselves Christians today that are Christian in name only. And many people think that they're born Christians. That's a terrible assumption to make, because no one is born a Christian, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot be born into it. And that was a mistake that the scribes, the Pharisees, that many make, that call themselves Jews. They believe that by flesh and blood, by their genealogy, that they are of the lineage and that they're safe. That's a terrible, terrible assumption to make. Back to our narrative here. Abraham called the name of that place Yahuwah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of Yahuwah it shall be seen. And the angel of Yahuwah called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith Yahuwah, For because you have done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations, all the families of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazu, and Phildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah, and these eight Milcah did bear unto Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Ruamah, she bore also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Makah. So we get a little bit of a genealogy there for Abraham's brother. And that ends chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. And these were the years of Sarah's life, 127 years old. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. So we know Abraham's 137 at this time, because he was 10 years older than his wife Sarah. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burial place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that you may bury your dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat me for me to Ephron, the son of Zoar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as is worth, he shall give it to me for possession of a burial place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephraim the Hittite answered Abraham and the audience of the children of Heth, even and all that went at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it to thee in the presence of the son of my people. Give I thee, bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land. And he spoke to Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if you will give it, I pray thee, hear me, and I will give you money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered to Abram, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money, with the merchant. And we're going to have to pick up here when I get back from the break. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org.